This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. This week, researchers reported that 3D mammography, called tomosynthesis, when added to conventional 2D mammography, may be better at catching cancers than the traditional 2D mammography alone. And women screened in 3D are less likely to be called back to the doctor for additional exams and biopsies than women screened only in 2D. The research appears in the Journal of the American Medical Association. We've been down this road before, right? Whether it's breast cancer, prostate cancer, thyroid cancer, more screening can detect more things that might be cancer and more things that might not be cancer. But does it lead to saving more lives? So is 3D mammography something you should ask your doctor about, as they say? Will it up the odds of beating breast cancer? That's what we're going to be talking about. Our number 844-724-8255, 844-SCI-TALK. You can also tweet us at SciFry. Dr. Sarah Friedewald is a co-author of the JAMA study. She's also co-medical director of the Caldwell Breast Center at Advocated Lutheran General Hospital in Park Ridge, Illinois. That's right outside of Chicago. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Friedewald.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Dr. Laura Esserman is director of the Carol Frank Buck Breast Cancer Center at the University of California in San Francisco. She was not involved in this study. We want to welcome back to Science Friday, Dr. Esserman.
Thank you so much. Glad to be back.
Dr. Friedewald, tell us in your study, how much better was the addition of the 3D mammography?
So what we found after studying over 450,000 examinations, we found a 41% increase in invasive cancer. And as you mentioned, decreased the number of patients having to come back for unnecessary testing.
And what's the difference between 3D and 2D, and why did it work better?
So the 3D mammogram is very similar to the 2D mammogram, except that we take multiple low-dose images across the breast. The woman is still in compression, just like she is for a standard 2D mammogram. And that gives the doctors more information about what's going on inside the breast. If you think about reading a book, and a 2D mammogram is a book that's closed, and you can see the covers of the book, the 3D mammogram allows us to open that book and page through each portion of the breast by 1 millimeter slices, and therefore we gather more information about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Just so everybody knows, for full disclosure, you are a consultant with the company that makes the 3D scanning technology, Hologic?
Yes, Hologic. This is the company that makes the tomosynthesis examination that we used in our study. It's the only FDA-approved device at the time of our study.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Esserman, what's your take on these results? Is this something, it sounds, you know, terrific, something that women should be asking their doctors about yet?
Well, you know, I think this is just one of the pieces. I think this is an important piece of evidence of how we can improve our screening technology. However, I think it's very important for us to start to move away from the notion that one size fits all for screening. And, for example, number one, the question might be, does everyone need 3D mammography? This is a more expensive technology. It's harder to do. It, just like an MRI, that's a much more expensive technology with high false positives. It's much more sensitive, but we reserve that only for the people at very high risk. So 3D mammography may be an alternative for how we screen women at the highest risk or for women with very dense breast tissue, but it may, for example, not be something we need for women with very fatty breasts or without significant density, which is, you know, well over 50% of the patients. And then I think the second question we have to ask ourselves is, you know, what is the nature of the kinds of invasive cancer that we're finding? This is sort of a key concept that I think is a little difficult for everyone to understand, but so very important as we think about screening. What we want to get to is a more tailored way to apply screening and try and figure out who needs what resource and when.
Dr. Friedewald, would you agree with some of that?
Definitely agree with wanting to tailor medicine towards patients, what we call the precision medicine. But I think what's so exciting about tomosynthesis or 3D mammography is that we were finding more invasive cancers, and there has been a lot of debate in the literature about sort of overdiagnosing cancers. And for the majority of cancers, we're talking about the DCIS or the in situ cancers, which are the types of cancers that are still inside the milk duct. And in our study, we found no increase in detection of those potentially clinically insignificant cancers. The problem is it's very hard to know which of the cancers are going to end up being problematic. And I think that's an important area that we need to research and understand the behavior of these types of cancers moving forward.
Well, Sarah, I want to point out, certainly I agree, I was very excited to see that it didn't increase the DCIS rates. However, I want to point out that there could be as many as half the screen-detected cancers being of this kind of indolent nature. What we mean by that is, you know, the spectrum of cancers that we see today come in many different flavors, some from the very lowest risk that really aren't going to cause much harm to those at the very highest risk. You know, they grow very fast, where probably screening isn't helping because we need systemic therapy, whatever size we find them. But for these lowest risk cancers, there are starting to be a number of molecular tools, hopefully, that will help identify who these people are. And, you know, it's been estimated that about 20% of the invasive cancers we find may be of that nature. And it may be because we haven't looked carefully enough what tomosynthesis is finding. But that's something that we have to investigate. And I think it's important going forward. I think it's time for us to start to run some big trials to really understand who's at risk for what kind of cancer and start to use all of the tools now that have been developed in terms of risk prediction and our molecular characterization of tumors to try and find out, okay, how do we do a better, more tailored approach to screening, personalized?
Well, and I totally agree with that. I think, you know, we would like to get a better idea of what type of invasive cancers we're detecting. But I think also, too, what the benefit of 3D mammography is that we're calling fewer people back for additional imaging. And so a lot of the other tests are more sensitive in finding more cancers, but they are unable to reduce that false positive or false alarm rate. And so
that's actually such an important point, and I'd like to ask you if you think this should be used instead of ultrasound, because ultrasound we know has a very high false positive and probably isn't going to be may not be as good as tomosynthesis. What do you think about
I think there's very much a role for ultrasound, particularly
screening,
in women with dense.
I'm talking about
screening. Yeah, and particularly with women who have dense breasts, and I don't think that 3D mammography is meant to replace or be instead of ultrasound. We did not compare directly to ultrasound, so I don't think that I can really say, you know, for sure one way or another. It's
maybe
definitely
a study worth doing,
right? Mm-hmm. But I think also, you know, I was going to mention before, even in women with fatty breasts, we're not calling as many women back because we can identify a vessel curve a little bit more clearly that might look like a lesion or a pseudo lesion, as we call it, and then we call them back, have additional imaging, and then we realize, oh, it was just a turn on a vessel. Whereas with the 3D mammography, we can follow the vessel all the way. So it really, yes, obviously, a huge part of it is detecting more cancers, but it's a more accurate examination.
Is it paid for by your health insurance yet?
There is variable coverage across the country, and so in many places it is covered, but in many places it's not, and so it can be frustrating as a clinician to be faced with a patient and they say, you know, is this going to be covered? And I can't give them an answer because it's highly variable. So we're hoping that this study will shed light on how helpful this examination is and have the insurance companies have a consistent reimbursement for it.
Medicare pay for it?
Again, variable. Depending.
Really?
Where you're located in the country.
Mm-hmm. And so where do you go next? Are any more trials? Are you thinking of conducting any more studies, or just definitive enough, do you think?
Well, no. As Dr. Esserman pointed out, I think there is definitely a role for figuring out more about the patient characteristics, subpopulations of our data, so patients, what their ages are and their breast density, and figuring out which patients might benefit more than others. So I think there's definitely room for more research, but this is an exciting first step.
Yeah, so I completely agree, and we are actually at our Athena Breast Health Network across the University of California systems, and we are working on developing a trial comparing personalized screening to annual screening, and we very specifically are trying to understand who develops what kind of cancer and doing the molecular profiling.
What is the difference between annual and personalized screening?
So the personalized would be really trying to do a comprehensive risk assessment. So looking at your genomic risk, looking at family history, breast density, all of the advances that we've had in risk screening, and really trying to address that in a more comprehensive way. Perhaps even testing some of the, you know, trying to understand how to test emerging tools. But importantly, to say, you know what, one size doesn't fit all. Today, people develop different kinds of breast cancers. You know, although we've done breast cancer screening as if everyone's at risk for the same kind of cancer, I think we need to put ourselves in the position to be able to say going forward, okay, are there populations that could be screened less? Are there populations that could be screened more? Even the U.S. Preventive Task Force guidelines suggest that we think about risk, but we don't really have all of the pieces together to know how to do that. So we want to put forward a way in which we can start to personalize risk, screen some people more, screen some people less, and you know, do a better job of trying to figure out when to start, when to stop, how frequently to do it. And to, you know, this study also would suggest what are the best tools for patients. And it may be that we can do a much better job of understanding populations at higher risk where this kind of tool would be better suited.
I gotta go, Dr. Esserman. Thank you very much, Dr. Laura Esserman, Dr. Sarah Friedewald. Thank you both for joining us this hour.